Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildebrand. Joining me, as always, a fine gentleman over there in New York City, a gentleman by the name of Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
I'm great, Ty, and you know this. You have so many relationships in this life. Only one or two are going to last. You go through all the pain and strife, then you turn your back, and they're gone so fast, Ty. They're gone so fast! So hold on. The ones who really care, in the end, they'll be the only ones there, Ty. You should know that.
I have no idea.
Is that true?
I swear to God, I don't know what the lyrics are.
So the next line is,
bop.
Oh, no. I looked at the lyrics and I had no idea.
When you do the dramatic reading of it like that without any context.
It throws you.
Yeah. Damn, Hanson, huh?
A little bit of Hanson. Just, I was only doing 90, like late 90s to current. And I just thought, and there's a reason that I was going to go back a little bit farther. A little bit further. So
you've been doing this thing where you go back like 15, 20 years, and I'm just not prepared for that. My mind has like a 10-year window in which it can remember things, but okay.
Sure. There's actually a pre-chorus, because that's where, can you tell me, that whole part, and then it's the bop.
Hey, so, on the topic of music, I have some breaking news!
Oh, please.
I received an email from a concerned citizen.
Boop, 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 boop.
Thank you.
Yeah. You received an email from a concerned citizen.
A concerned citizen that you have besmirched the good name of an iconic 19th century classical composer, I should say.
Dvorak?
That's
how I pronounce it. I'm sure I'm wrong.
Antonin Dvorak is rolling over in his grave because it's Antonin Dvorak.
Dvorak. I gotta say, Ty, we were not inundated with corrections.
No, we weren't. But one guy who told me he's a literal doctor of music
said that he winced
in pain upon hearing your Dvorak, and that this was my opportunity to make up for all the ribbing you've given me about Globe tomatoes and brioche and all that crap.
I would argue that the word globe and the word brioche are used more often in everyday vernacular.
Well, that's your opinion, Dan.
Dvorak sounds like the name of a Mortal Kombat character added in like Mortal Kombat 3 and a half Super Turbo Edition. So it sounds right.
Well, thank you to everyone out there for writing in, for listening in, for calling in, for texting in. Week 10 is going to be busy. Dan and I both have a ton of energy. He is jazzed up and ready to go. I've been drinking coffee for the last 45 minutes, so I'll be good to go as well. Probably about midway through the show, I'll crash. But suffice to say, we've got a lot to discuss. Don't forget, you can find us out on Apple, on Google, on Spotify. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And of course, give us a call over the span of the weekend at 408-VERBAL-1. That is 408-837-2251. I already played the breaking news sound, which means I think we can get right into the fact that Jim McElwain was fired shortly after, like 20 minutes after we hit the stop button on our Sunday recording, Dan. That means that Florida's interim coach for the remainder of the season will be Randy Shannon, a guy who's been a head coach before at the college football level. But this had sort of been brewing.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if either one of us expected that Jim McElwain would be out before a guy like a Butch Jones, who appears to be a dead man walking. But this is a big deal. This is going to have ramifications, I think. This is a good job, despite the fact that there are really high expectations. Florida is a good situation for a coach to step into. Lord knows we've seen plenty of rumors out there about who might be interested, who might be pursued by Florida's new athletic director, but big news drop.
It is an enormous job. It is a difficult job, and I don't think top 10 job and difficult job are mutually exclusive. that can be definitely both because of the pressures that come with playing in the SEC and being a recent national champion and the money that will come with that and difficulty because of the pressure. And I think facilities are still needing an upgrading. It's an enormous, enormous job that has opened up. A lot of people rightfully have started looking in the direction of Dan Mullen.
Right,
Scott
right.
Frost seems to be lesser than Dan Mullen in terms of likelihood, but you know, it's coaching hire season. Ty, you know as well as anybody, it could be an out of nowhere name we never even considered. I know Mike Norvell, who has done a good job at Memphis, Dino Babers. I mean, I'm looking at the odds, the literal odds from Bet Online, Ty.
Okay, right.
Willie Taggart. I'm familiar with Willie Taggart from the state of Florida, has said he has not been contacted and not interested. Doesn't mean that that will be the case come December or January, but that's the situation right now. Matt Campbell, a name.
Yeah.
Because of what he's done at Iowa State. So, yes, I think it's a huge, huge job. And obviously from the start and the way it finished, it was just awkward and weird with Jim McElwain, and the offense never really got going. And that seems like it'll be priority number one. But this is a tough gig, Ty. It's tough.
Yeah, we talked about on Sunday how programs in the SEC are being driven loony because they can't compete with Nick Saban. And you're right, it's going to be a tough job. My money would be on Dan Mullen at this point because typically, as many have pointed out, programs tend to go hard in the direction of whatever it is they think they need or what they've been lacking. So I would expect an offensive-minded coach. Dan Mullen has a history of success at the University of Florida. So we'll have to wait and see where that goes. I'm sure a bunch of names are going to surface here.
And coached under Scott Strickland, who is the current Florida athletic director and was at Mississippi State.
The other bit of news is that we've got our first set of college football playoff rankings. I read to you in order from 1 through 10. We've got Georgia, Alabama, Notre Dame, and Clemson rounding out your top four, followed by Oklahoma at 5, Ohio State, and Penn State at 6 and 7, TCU, Wisconsin, and Miami rounding out the top 10. Look, it's a little early after week 9 to take deep issue with any of that placement.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that surprised you?
So most of the teams, at least in the top 10, do something on a top playoff caliber level. Fair to say?
Yes, absolutely.
Most of these teams, you know, TCU struggling at Iowa State, but Iowa State is what? They're 15th in the initial ranking. So that speaks to the steps and the leaps and bounds that Iowa State has taken. But TCU, when they get rolling on offense, defensive, they're sort of very, very complete, much more so than in recent years. Clemson, even though quarterback and throwing downfield may not be what it was under Deshaun Watson, defensively they're there. You know, you don't have to say much about Alabama. Notre Dame has taken huge steps forward on both sides of the ball. I would say of the top seven teams, you have Oklahoma's defense is decidedly not playoff caliber. You have Wisconsin's offense, for the most part, isn't, although I think we love Jonathan Taylor tailback. Miami feels like they're just short of playoff caliber, which is fine. They're ranked 10th. And Washington has a not so great loss, but they're ranked 12th. So I think everything to me feels about right. I am not convinced of Virginia Tech. I am not convinced of Iowa State. And beyond that, in the top 15, just in terms of being complete and competitive teams to sort of float around that top four area, it seems fine.
Seems fine to me. I don't have a problem with Georgia being one. I think that raised some eyebrows because in many circles, Alabama is just assumed to be the top team in the country, and that could well be true, but Georgia at this point probably has a better resume. I also appreciate the fact that they did not put Wisconsin super high in these rankings because Wisconsin does have a lot to prove. They will get that opportunity as the season goes on here. They play Michigan later. They presumably will play a game in the Big Ten Championship against, I'm guessing at this point, Ohio State. They will have their opportunity to prove what they are made of, but I appreciate that in this early set of rankings, the committee wasn't wooed by the fact that they're 8-0.
Is there anybody far away from, say, the top 8 that you say they are improving every week and they can surprise somebody or they can make dramatic moves based on their schedule?
Oklahoma State's an interesting interesting team. They're at 11th right now, and they've got some big games coming up. We'll talk about the Bedlam game here momentarily as we get into all the Week 10 action, but they're a team, you know, that I think if things break correctly, they probably need a lot of help, but not the worst loss on their schedule right now, and certainly room to grow if things in front of them break accordingly.
Yeah, I look at Auburn at 14 because of what they do on defense, because what their ceiling looks like on offense. We know that they just completely went into a shell against LSU, but Auburn with two losses with what, Georgia and Alabama left, and they're going to need off some sort of help as well.
Sure, right.
But if they end up winning the West and win the SEC with two losses, it feels like they'll be vaulted into the top four.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll leave it at that. Week 9 just ended. We're going to talk about Week 10 here momentarily, but we do have a set of playoff rankings for people to dissect and examine further. The only other bit of news that we have is show-related. Did you want to talk about the shirts and what's going on?
Yes, so we are, I believe it will be next week. We are releasing the shirts we just previously sold, the green shirts with the icons and the fun weirdness everywhere. We are releasing them through Cotton Bureau, both a men's or unisex cut and a women's cut. So there will be multiple sizes.
People have been asking for the women's cut for a long time now.
Yes, there will be women's sizes. I don't know if it's not a full scoop neck. It's just, you know, shaped differently, because here is a bit of breaking news, Ty. Everybody's bodies are different.
Beep, beep, boop, 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 boop.
So that will be, we're recording this show on Wednesday, November 1st. So I anticipate maybe early next week. And right after that, there will be a bonus availability of something new and old. So that's okay. All I can say, because I'm still confirming that. But yes, keep your eyes peeled on twitter.com/solidverbal. Keep your ears perked on this show, facebook.com/solidverbal, because we have gotten a lot of demand. And so we're going to release more shirts through our friends at Cotton Bureau. And I can tell you this, Ty, they'll be pretty quick sending them out.
Boom.
How about that?
The other bit of news that we should mention here, and we're just going to give people advanced notice of what we're thinking, because last time around, it came about very suddenly. We're in the very early stages of looking into a live show when we are down in Atlanta.
Yes!
For the College Football National Championship. We've got a huge base of support down there in Hotlanta, not to mention the fact that the national championship will be in town. So we're, again, in the very early stages of scouting out some locations, trying to put together a show agenda.
By the way, suggestions for locations. If you've been to live podcasts in Atlanta, we're trying to make this as convenient and fun and food and drink filled as possible. So let us know. SolidVerbal@gmail.
If you or any of your friends own a speakeasy that can accommodate like several hundred people, that would be nice. Let us know. Yeah. SolidVerbal@gmail.com. Also looking into getting Outkast to sing the national anthem, which would be a nice perk, but ticket prices might go up a bit. So a lot still kind of in motion, but that is our very early thinking here. The weekend before the national championship would be our target date. So stay tuned if you're interested.
Snacks, drinks, media friends, Solid Verbal friends, SB Nation friends. I would say it's all happening.
It would be an extravaganza.
This is a gala event.
A way to phrase it. All right. On that note.
Damn. Time. Help. I need picks of the week.
So look, week 10. Week 10. We burn all this time in the beginning of the show talking about playoffs and about shirts and live shows and Jim McElwain. And God, I'm going to miss that picture of him with the really sunburnt face. We'll always have that with Jim. But anyway, we wasted so much time talking about all that jazz. We got to talk about some football this week, Dan.
We got a huge Saturday, Ty.
I'm worried that this Saturday has the same potential as a couple weeks ago when I told people to go out and see Cats again and just go enjoy your day. Don't be back till later. Remember that?
I do remember. I happen to have a recollection of
that. And then there were a bunch of upsets. It's that kind of week. We're going to talk in detail in the coming minutes about the 7 games in Week 10 that are featuring 2 ranked opponents. But there are at least 6 others that could be close or fun. That's not even to mention the other ones that aren't even going to be on our radar. We might mention them briefly, but we just don't have enough time.
Right.
I would say if you're looking for a good window of opportunity, go out, enjoy your day, be home by 5 p.m. Eastern at the latest, because if you're home by then, you can catch at least the second half of Clemson and NC State. You can catch most of the Bedlam game between Oklahoma and sure. Oklahoma State. And then that would put you in front of a TV with more than enough notice for Alabama-LSU, which is still a big game, even though Bama's a heavy favorite. You can catch Miami as a home dog against Virginia Tech. If you're interested in staying up, USC and Arizona, which could be a fun game later on in the day. Be home by 5 p.m. That's my window of opportunity.
Yeah, the week has already started, by the way.
Yes, of
course. Bowling Green beat Kent State, and Ohio beat Miami of Ohio. Ohio's pretty good. Frank Solich, 4-1 in the MAC. I think there's other games tonight as we're recording this.
Oh, God, I don't even know. I'm losing track of the games. I'm losing track of my life. I'm just, yeah.
There's a lot.
There's a lot.
And not only that, Ty, so many good games. And remember Chris Fowler used to do Separation Saturday? You know, he'd come up with the name for the weekend or for the slate of games.
Yeah, sure.
I was trying to think of one for this weekend.
Okay.
Did you watch the television program The Simpsons?
Of course.
Do you remember the episode where Bart and Milhouse found a $5 bill outside of the Quickie Mart? Do you remember that?
I do, yeah. I'm not quite the Simpsons aficionado are, but I do remember specifically that episode.
So they find a $5 bill outside the Quickie Mart, and they decide to spend it. Well, they go in, like, okay, they're going to buy a squishy. No, Tie. They want an all-syrup super squishy. So this is all-syrup super squishy Saturday, Tie.
There's a lot of forced alliteration in there, but I like it. A
lot of endorphins, and it's just pure uncut football. I'm ready.
High noon on Fox. Penn State. I've got them as an 8-point road favorite at Michigan State, Dan. Penn State coming off the 1-point loss. Michigan State coming off the triple overtime defeat against Northwestern. Two teams looking to rebound in a big way. There is no way I can give you my opinion on this game without coming across as unduly dismissive towards Michigan State.
That's fine.
And so to all the Michigan State brethren out there that listen, that support, I'm sorry I'm not sorry for what I'm about to say.
Please.
I just need to reiterate what I've been saying for a couple weeks now. Michigan State is the best bad team in the country.
Okay.
That's how I feel. They lost in triple overtime last week to a Northwestern team that's been mediocre at best. Fair?
Yeah.
Mediocre at best. Now they got Penn State coming to town. And the best chance for them that I could find in poring over the regular numbers, the advanced numbers, mm-hmm. the best chance they have is that Penn State is still reeling from their loss last week in Columbus, and maybe they're out of sync. Maybe they're off to a bit of a slow start. There's a letdown effect, mm-hmm. something of that ilk. That's the best I can do here for Michigan State.
You know what I'm disappointed you haven't mentioned? The weather. Because you are a weather dork.
I am a weather nerd, yeah.
This is when I start looking into Weather Underground. Weather Underground's wonderful.
Not a sponsor, by the way.
Not a sponsor. Absolutely not a sponsor. There's a good chance it's going to be sort of rainy, cold weather on Saturday in East Lansing. So Penn State has a good offense. I don't think they have a very good offense. I think
no?
they have
really?
Good players. Yes, I think they have a good offense.
Okay.
They have a top 25 offense. I don't think it's, you know, on the top tier of college football offense. It's just because they go into ruts. They're not particularly efficient for long stretches of the game. We saw at the end of the game against Ohio State, granted against an excellent defensive line, that they did face a number of struggles just moving the ball. I don't love the offensive line.
Well, that's the thing. I think they've got a top 10 group of skill position players.
Sure.
And a top 50 offensive line.
And maybe even like a top 5 offensive coordinator as well.
Totally. The line is what lets them down. It's what let them down a week ago against Ohio State.
Yeah. So I'm worried about that against a Michigan State defense, which is really the engine, especially I think against the pass. Michigan State has been very, very good. Granted, they haven't really played quarterbacks beyond Brandon Wimbush, and even he is not yet what he will be. Penn State's defense is very good. They are especially good at preventing big plays. Luckily, Michigan State is not generating big plays.
Not at all.
The offense isn't all that good. Michigan State feels to me sort of like NC State, where they do a number of things pretty well, and they have an accurate quarterback, but there's nothing super explosive about them. I like Michigan State to keep it. If it is kind of a mucky game, I'm going to go with Michigan State coming back to East Lansing, perhaps weird weather, Penn State in a letdown spot. A second straight road game is not my favorite thing.
Look at you.
23-20 Penn State.
Whoa! I am not buying that at all. At all.
How has Penn State been on the road this year?
I know. I'm not buying that. Yeah, I will personally text people from the Reverb line. If you're a Michigan State fan, if you're not a Michigan State fan, if you just want to say hi, but I will personally text you with a mea culpa if I'm wrong about this, because I just don't see
what happened to my Arizona State USC apology.
I'm you're not getting an apology.
Okay.
Just I owe you nothing, dog. Michigan State, they play defense, but that's about it. I don't know. They're inefficient on offense. You mentioned they don't generate big plays. They stink at finishing drives. I'm saying Penn State wins 38-20.
I think the actual bad matchup is Michigan State's defense prevents big plays, and Penn State needs big plays.
Yeah, you're wrong. 38-20, Penn State.
Wow. All right. We disagree.
Let's move to 3:30 also on the Fox family of networks. Washington State at home, a slight 2-point favorite. 2.5, 3, depends where you look, against the Stanford Cardinal, Dan. Washington State, you might remember, broke an 8-game losing streak against Stanford when they won by 26 last season. Of note, Bryce Love was out last week, and Stanford nearly lost to Oregon State. They looked like crap. They won 15-14. He is likely a game-time decision. That's according to David Shaw. That kind of makes this game, at least on Wednesday when we're recording, very difficult to prognosticate. Because if he's not playing, Dan, I'm all in on Wazoo. If he is playing, then it's obviously a bit of a different situation. There's different calculus at play here. So do we want to do two capsules for people out there? Like one if he is playing, one if he isn't? Or how do we accommodate this as enterprising podcasters?
Let's split the difference and make a pick, assuming he plays but is limited.
I think I still like Wazoo.
You want me to give you the weather wrinkle?
Okay, go ahead.
30s and light snow, Ty.
That probably favors Stanford, doesn't it?
It probably favors Stanford. Luke Falk is starting for Wazoo, at least according to Mike Leach earlier on in the week, who was pulled for, it was unclear, maybe confidence reason, maybe slight injury. Luke Falk is, and this has been true for the past few games, I hope it's not true, but it has been true to my eyes, which might not mean anything, is looking a little yippy.
Yeah.
And I know you enjoy the concept of that.
I love myself a good yip, yeah.
Love a good yip. Going through progressions and not, he just is not pulling the trigger. He's not trusting the offense as much as he perhaps used to. They don't generate big plays. They don't have those big play receivers in the way that they did these past few years. They start out games really slowly. I like their defense. This is a good defense. They still allow too many plays, which if it's a fully healthy Bryce Love, that's a problem. But I don't anticipate that either way. I just don't like what I'm seeing from Stanford. I don't like their defense. Yeah, I don't like their passing game. Maybe they start KJ Costello, Ty.
I know. I'm with you on defense, though. I think that's a very valid point, because Stanford has typically always had a really good defense that they can fall back on. They've never really had a super electrifying offense. They've always had one key component that they can build around.
The super electrifying player, yeah.
Sure, right. They had Christian McCaffrey last year and the year before. And the year before, they were able to build around him. But if they don't have Bryce Love, or even if he's limited, I think that drastically limits what they can do on offense. And then without a defense that they can fall back on, as in years past, it definitely opens the door for a team like Wazoo. I wanted to point this out, though, because it's interesting. Just about every advanced metric system I can find has Wazoo winning the game. Most of them have Wazoo covering. Bill Connolly in S&P Plus has Wazoo winning by 1.7 points, which would mean that Stanford covers. Beyond that, ESPN's FPI, their football power index, has Stanford at -8 on a neutral field, which is rare. It's rare that you see such a big disparity, but FPI is all in on Stanford. Everyone else, I think consensus is in on Washington State. My intuition is that Washington State has a better offense and a good enough defense to hold down Stanford. The line screams Stanford to me like there's something I'm missing. And I know I fall victim to it every year with a matchup like this where one team's got demonstrably better on offense and the other is just kind of a vanilla offense that plays a little defense. I went back and forth 10 times, but I'm going to stick to my guns here and go Wazoo. I'm going to go Wazoo to win at home, despite the weather, and cover a, what, 2-point spread?
Yeah, I'm gonna take Wazoo here. I think they win by 10. I have 27-17. They won by 25 last year.
26.
With 26 points, excuse me. A better offense, a lesser defense last year. So I think they're all right. I think they win this game. I think there's a number of ways. I think they can force turnovers. I know that if Keller Chris starts this game, Stanford is going to go 3 and out far more often than they like. So 27-17, Wazoo.
Also at 3:30 on ABC, we've got Clemson. We've got them on the road, a 7.5-point favorite. For what it's worth, I believe that NC State was the site of the last official zening. Excuse me. Something in my throat there. Yeah. Zening. Okay. How much of NC State's game plan do you think was affected last week when their starting tailback, Nyheim Hines, went down?
A good amount, but they were not an overwhelming rushing team even coming into that game. And I'm not sure that's how you beat Notre Dame anyway.
Correct. I mean,
you probably beat Notre Dame with bigger plays and keeping the defense on the field and tiring them out. But a small chunk, but not overwhelming.
It sounds like Hines will be okay and that he's going to play against Clemson. And perhaps that will change things in favor of NC State. Maybe they'll look a little bit better, a little bit more balanced. I still think they're a really solid team, NC State. You can tell that they're out there, that they've got organization, that they've got a game plan that they're trying to execute. All that being said, that defense. That defense got worn down against Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And offensively, Clemson can do a lot of the same stuff. They can probably do a lot of it better than Notre Dame, certainly through the air with Kelly Bryant. He's been very effective. This would normally be a spot where I think I'd invent a way for Clemson to lose because I'm rooting for chaos, and it would make playoff rankings a little bit more interesting. I am going to refrain from doing that. I'm going to show some self-restraint from doing that this year because I think Clemson's defense is going to hold down NC State. I think they might be even better at doing it than Notre Dame. 7.5 points.
Lock of the week.
I am all in on Clemson.
Nice.
Give me the Tigers by a 31-14 final here.
I have 30-13 Clemson written in my notes.
Really?
Yes, we are simpatico.
Yeah.
So we agree. Clemson is sort of in the process of rebuilding momentum now with a healthier Kelly Bryant. I still don't fully know if his ankle is back to where it should be. And NC State, as you mentioned, resetting after, I would say, a comfortable Notre Dame loss.
Yeah.
I'm resetting what I think about NC State because we are resetting what we think of Florida State and Louisville, right?
Yeah,
after Boston College, just they haven't looked all that great. So we have to recalibrate, I think, our opinion, our collective opinion of NC State. They feel to me like the best appetizer at an awkward wedding. Like, we can appreciate certain things about you, but I'm not sure you are the biggest deal that we are going to remember about 2017. The best thing they still do is control the ball through the air. There's an efficiency there to Ryan Finley and what he does. There's talent up front, but I don't think this defense is particularly as a whole all that effective. I think Clemson is going to regain momentum. They were a little bit sluggish against Georgia Tech in really bad weather with the return of Kelly Bryant. I think they're going to be healthier, and I think the defensive line, much like what Notre Dame did, I think they're going to swarm Ryan Finley again. 17-point Clemson win.
there are going to be a lot of NC State fans out there now that the playoff rankings have been revealed. If you're a Penn State fan, you're going to be rooting like hell for NC State. If you're an Oklahoma fan, really, if you're any fan outside of those top four teams, and your team has a legit chance of making the playoffs down the stretch here, you're going to be rooting for NC State because this is one of the few
games
on the Clemson schedule where there is some potential for things to get a little bit wild. But yeah, have fun with that. Dan and I in unison going 17 points in favor of Clemson. Do you also want to lock that up?
No, I'm not going to double lock. I'm not going to double barrel.
Fair enough, Dan. If the shoe doesn't fit, that's fine. That's fine. You know what does fit?
What's that, Ty?
A perfectly tailored suit at an incredible price from Indochino.
Hell yes, it does.
Indochino, you can choose from hundreds of top quality fabrics and personalize your suit just the way you want it, whether it's for work or a wedding or another special occasion. Indochino, Indochino, has suited up hundreds of thousands of guys, and they are now the largest made-to-measure menswear brand in the world.
Mm-hmm.
We've had people email us about Indochino. They're using it for their own weddings, to go to weddings of friends and loved ones. They love how they look in a custom-fitted suit, not something that's generic and off the rack. Here is the way this works. You can go to Indochino.com, or you can visit one of their showrooms. You pick your fabric. You choose your customizations from lapels to pleats to jacket linings and more. Then you submit your measurements, and you wait. Just a few weeks, you're going to get the best suit you've ever worn, better fitting than anything off the rack could ever be. Right now, Solid Verbal listeners can get Indochino's best deal ever at $359 for any premium suit when you enter Solid during checkout, S-O-L-I-D. 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit. Shipping is free. It's all at Indochino.com. Indochino.com, promo code SOLID. Any premium suit, $359, free shipping. An incredible deal for a suit that will fit you better than anything you could find elsewhere. Indochino.com.
It's going to be, Ty, it's going to be wedding season before you know it.
I know.
Look your best. Come on. I've been a bunch of weddings this year. I got married this year, Ty. You want to look your best. People, men, women, children, everybody's doing, adults, senior citizens, Ty.
Yeah.
Make the effort.
Do it. Indochino.com. Promo code SOLID. Dan, I'm standing up here. I'm yelling into the microphone. I'm going to lose my voice because it's bedlam time, baby.
I'm also standing.
It is bedlam time. 4 p.m. FS1. Oklahoma State, number 11 in your college football playoff rankings after week 9. They are a 3-point home favorite over the Oklahoma Sooners, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big game. This is a big game.
Huge.
It's bedlam.
How you feeling, Ty?
I have no idea how to pick this game. How about you?
Well, first of all, it's an early bedlam because they don't want a rematch next week.
True.
As would be the case if bedlam were being held at the end of November, which it usually is. Both these teams, as we now know, are squarely in the college football playoff hunt. Both had, I would say, somewhat uneven games last week. Texas Tech started really nicely, against Oklahoma State. Even though the defense actually came to play pretty nicely against West Virginia, offensively, they turned the ball over a little bit too much, and that led to West Virginia points, and they sort of crawled back into that game. Fun and not so fun fact all at the same time. Mike Gundy, 2-10 versus Oklahoma.
I found that little factoid as well. I have a question for you, a very important question.
Always.
What unit on the field do you trust the least?
I'll be Oklahoma's defense.
Oklahoma's defense. That's the real liability here. And there is a glaring weakness that jumps off the page if you try to compare these two teams. Oklahoma's ability to limit big pass plays. That's a problem. They're 121st in the nation, according to the S&P Plus numbers. Oklahoma State, on the flip side of that equation, is 14th in the nation at generating big plays in the passing game.
Mm-hmm.
And they're led, of course, by our boy Junkyard Jim Washington.
Obviously.
Still averaging over 22 yards a catch after 9 weeks. Not insignificant. That, to me, is a problem because when you got a defense that, let's be honest, is not elite, What happens when you've got a defense that needs to respect the deep ball, Dan?
You should be able to run a little bit on them.
You should be able to run. And it should open up some routes in the intermediate passing game as well. So I think a really strong game for the Justice King legal team in the backfield in Stillwater.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think a huge win in Bedlam for the home team, Oklahoma State. Now, when I say huge, I don't mean by 20 points, but I think for the most part, a back and forth game. I think a lot of points. I'm going to say Oklahoma State by a 38 to 31 margin here.
Wow. Okay. So the only thing I will challenge you on, well, not challenge you, but sort of an addendum to your opening question. The worst thing in this game may be Oklahoma's defense, but the best thing may be Oklahoma's offense, right?
Agreed. Agreed.
So that's a slight wrinkle. Oklahoma State's offense, though, is obviously quite balanced. They struggle a little bit when they go workhorse, when they say, okay, you are the running back and you are going to carry the ball 30 times. They've struggled in games where that's been J.D. King a little bit last week against West Virginia. They've struggled when that's been Justice Hill. When they spread the ball out evenly and everybody's getting touches, that's when Oklahoma State is at their best. Didn't they, against Pitt, didn't four receivers go over 100 yards? Something
yeah.
like that?
Yeah, yeah.
So that is when Oklahoma State is at their best. And certainly they can generate the kind of yardage against Oklahoma to have silly numbers at times. Oklahoma, on their end, they are the best offense, even though they're sort of start pinned way too much because of their own defense and special teams and giving up a lot of big plays, whatever the case may be. I just think right now, a suspect defense on the road in a rivalry game, even though they are, even with those 3 points and taking the points in a shootout, I still think it's going to be more than that field goal. I have Oklahoma State by 6, 40 to 34. Still think it's back and forth, but I think that's my final.
Mm, okay.
And Ty?
Yeah.
Please lock it up.
Lock of the week.
Dan, I admire the cojones it takes to lock up the Bedlam game, because you know typically what we're supposed to do in a rivalry game such as this, right?
Oh, true.
Got to throw out the records.
Throw them out.
Just throw them out the window. In this case, I believe they have the same record, but still, just take them and throw them out the window. It doesn't matter.
True.
All right, let's go to 8 p.m. on CBS. We've got Alabama at home. Wow. 21.5 points, the favorite. Ooh. Over LSU. An absolute F ton of points here.
Mm-hmm.
But it's sort of makes sense, right? If I'm Alabama, I've got a good enough defense to stack the box and force Danny Etling to beat me. And in the face of that equation, 21 points, given my offense, given my own propensity to run and score and beat you any number of different ways, 21 points makes a little bit more sense there, does it not?
It makes some amount of sense, yes. It's in Tuscaloosa. Both teams coming off a bye, right? I believe so.
That is correct, yeah.
Yeah, Alabama's offense has been great. If there's any sort of weird part, any sort of wrinkle that you can get Alabama to shrink a little bit with, it's downfield passing. Jalen Hurts still hasn't been the best when pressed to do that against the better teams, which is not a lot of teams, mind you, on Alabama's schedule. But everything else is great. If you really want to test what Alabama may not do well, you got to force third and definite passing downs. You cannot let them drive down the field. And obviously, offensively against Alabama, you have to take chances. You have to, whatever the case may be, you cannot run into the teeth of their defense. And LSU will have plays called by Matt Canada. He will take chances. There will be wrinkles. There will be fun, hopefully, to this LSU offense when Darius Geis is healthy. They are a great rushing team. You would think that would open up explosive passing plays, and it does. The problem is they don't have those in between, you know, third and seven, nine-yard hitch, nine-yard slant, whatever. That's the problem. So LSU is developing receivers. I am worried about LSU's special teams, but LSU, I think, can do enough to barely not lose by more than 22 points.
A little backdoor cover action?
A little backdoor cover. And listen, Alabama is not in a position, even with a schedule that is so-so right now, they're going to get the benefit of the doubt. Or as I'm sure the playoff committee has called it behind closed doors, the Benny of the D.
Sure, right. Yeah, of course.
The Benny of the D.
That's what we call it, yeah.
Yeah, that's what the true pros call it. So they're going to try to keep their pedal down if LSU can't sustain drives, but LSU covers and loses 34-14.
I think this has all the makings of a good old-fashioned Alabama crockpotting.
I'm just preparing the meat.
That tenderizes it.
That tenderizes it in a big way.
Crockpotting!
Yeah!
Yeah! We're looking at a crockpotting here. Give me Alabama by 24 points.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit of a front door cover.
There are a lot of dogs that just heard that, Ty, and are very confused.
Also at 8 p.m. on ABC, Virginia Tech, 2.5-point road favorite against the Miami Hurricanes. Dan, I read a blog post this week that labeled Miami as a completely dominant team.
Okay.
Through the first 9 weeks of the season.
Was it written by somebody with the last name Richt?
I don't know. I was wondering if I missed a memo on that one. Even Mark Richt has had his own questions about Miami. He's talked ad nauseum about how his team hasn't been consistent. They haven't necessarily gotten off to the fastest of starts. When the offense has played well, the defense has not. They haven't had all phases of their offense working at the same time. They've had injuries. It hasn't quite been the well-oiled machine that you might expect for an undefeated top 10 playoff contender.
Right.
This is one of those weeks, though, where they're going to have a chance to show us their mettle. They've got a really good Virginia Tech team coming to town. They are a slight underdog, which gives us a lot of home dog potential. I am not so sure, upon deeper examination, how I feel about Virginia Tech's offense against a really good defense. You know, you can say a lot about Miami and some of their own transgressions, excuse me. And Lord knows that all holds a lot of water. But I'm just not sure how I should feel about Virginia Tech's offense, because Miami does have a good defense, and our only real data set about the Hokies at this point is how they played against Clemson. And it's tough to gauge because everyone has trouble against Clemson, but gosh, they haven't had a whole lot of experience this season against really good defenses.
So Miami hasn't won comfortably since September, right?
Correct.
And if we're going to reset about NC State, if we are going to not fully reset because Virginia Tech lost to Clemson, and that's totally fine. But Virginia Tech's biggest ACC win upon reset is Boston College?
BC.
It's BC, which is testament to BC and the season they've had in turning things around, but doesn't tell us a ton right now about where Virginia Tech is, especially offensively, I would say. Defensively, I think we can trust that they're in a very good position. And we know Miami, on their end, they start off slow. Malik Rozier had a very good game last week when the running game didn't. And so they have been able to really put together a complete game, like you mentioned. They've been pretty good on third down, which I like to see, to sustain drives. They've been able to generate sort of bigger runs, even with Mark Walton being out for more than a month now, I think at this point, around a month. It's a good matchup for Miami. I like Miami's pass defense against Virginia Tech's passing game because that's what they do better. If Virginia Tech was better at generating more impressive runs on the ground, I know there's talent there, but if they were a better rushing team, I'd be more worried about Virginia Tech on the road as favorites, mind you.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
they themselves now are giving up bigger passes, and that's where Malik Rozier is developing nicely. I just think it's a good matchup. Virginia Tech, the Hokies don't run well enough to take advantage. I have Miami 24-20 outright.
I have Miami outright as well. Let's name them Home Dog of the Week.
The Yakos. Home Dog of the Week.
Virginia Tech, in looking at them, their strength is their passing game and their defense. And Miami also has a very good pass defense and an offense that can actually generate big plays, which is a weakness for Virginia Tech. So as I said earlier, when we were looking at Bedlam, it's a good matchup in that one team can generate big plays and the other has some trouble in stopping them.
Yeah.
sometimes it's not more complicated than that. I've got Miami outright 28-24. Nice matchup for them.
Yeah, these are the offenses that Virginia Tech has played since opening up against what I think we consider to be a pretty good West Virginia offense right now. And that would be Delaware, East Carolina, Old Dominion, Clemson, which is good, I would say. BC, North Carolina, and Duke. It's not a lot of meat there.
Not a lot of meat. By the way, that sound that you hear is a million Virginia Tech fans clapping in unison that we picked Miami to win outright.
Yeah, sure. Happy to do it.
And finally here, before we get to a bunch of other notable games, at 10:45, Pac-12 After Dark on ESPN, we've got a very grateful USC team, -8 at home against the Arizona Wildcats, the streaking Arizona Wildcats led by Khalil Tate. The Arizona Wildcats also play zero defense. So if they win this game, we really need to get the tater tots out there for Khalil Tate and his Heisman campaign.
Yeah, let's get this idea to Arizona. Come on. This is not a wonderful year for dual threat quarterbacks in Heisman conversations. Khalil Tate's doing an amazing job.
How can you vote against the tater tots? Kids with tater tot shirts.
Adorable.
I'm telling you, this could be a real thing. This could work.
We've had worse ideas.
If they win this game,
yeah,
his name is going to be in like the top six. It has to be. Because he will have single-handedly propelled Arizona to what, 7-2?
Yeah. A top 10 offense in the country.
USC might not be playoff worthy, but a win on the road at USC is still a quality win.
Oh, yeah. It's still quality. USC did a nice job last week against ASU, resetting their own season. We talk about in previous weeks, you know, Sudoku games. And by that, we mean, okay, you filled in this number in your Sudoku puzzle. And now it's a clearer picture. Okay, there's a four here. Okay, North Carolina might just be very bad. That kind of thing. The Pac-12 is just all crossed out numbers everywhere. Yeah. There's no sense to the Pac-12 Sudoku. So with that big win over ASU, I think reset that, okay, USC is at least pretty good. Arizona had an enormous win over Washington State, who, you know, obviously had already beaten USC a few weeks prior. When they're not turning it over, USC's offense can be very good. And I believe they get Stephen Carr back. They're not really backup, but they're number two running back, which I think is a big deal for how this offense operates. And the defense is pretty good. I like some of their pass rushing options when they're not allowing big plays. And Ty, they're playing against Mr. Big Play.
Yeah, right.
Khalil Tate. I don't love Arizona's defense, but this is a big play offense when Khalil Tate is rolling. And he throws the ball really nicely. He throws a pretty ball. He's averaging something like 12 or 13 yards per pass attempt in some of the bigger games he's played. I like this Arizona team, but I think it's kind of a bad matchup.
Oh, it's a horrible matchup for them.
I think it's unfortunate. I still think he's going to get yardage and will be fun. I think USC wins in a shootout, Ty. I don't think USC covers. I have 41-38. Trophies.
Really? See, I don't see Arizona stopping USC at all. And I trust USC's defense to get more stops than Arizona's. So I can certainly understand why you'd look at this game and see some shootout potential. But I think I have more trust in USC's defense. Even if it has been disappointing at times this year, I still trust them more than I do Arizona's. And I am going to go USC outright to win and cover, in part because that is truly what I believe, and also in part because if I'm wrong, as I've been frequently on this show, and Arizona does win outright, that would propel Khalil Tate back into the real Heisman discussion. Not just on the periphery here as a fable of the solid verbal.
Okay, so we disagree, sort of.
All right, so we got to go quickly because there are a bunch of other notable games here that we need to discuss. Let's go back to noon on Saturday, ESPN televising Auburn, a 14-point road favorite at Texas A&M. I see potentially, a look-ahead spot here for Auburn with a big game next week against Georgia. I don't think A&M's good enough to win, but I think they're good enough to cover.
I disagree. Auburn coming off of a bye. I think they're going to run all over A&M, who is going through quarterback issues and is going to leave the defense on the field too much. 34-17, Tigers.
3:30 on ESPN2. We've got West Virginia at home. 3-point favorite against the streaking Cyclones of Iowa State. Iowa State's got so much momentum right now. Why would I ever want to pick against them? Plus, they were my favorite team at the start of the season. I'm going to keep coming back to it. I'm going to keep patting myself on the back because I told a fine gentleman from the very fine country of Australia that if he's picking a team, if he doesn't have any other rooting allegiance, he should pick Iowa State. They'll be fun.
Go Clones.
Go Clones. So what the hell? Iowa State outright. Let's do it.
Yeah, I have Iowa State outright as well. Turnovers, 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 turnovers. Iowa State is great at forcing them. West Virginia is unfortunate at forcing themselves to give the ball to the other team. So I'm going Iowa State outright as well, 20-17.
Speaking of the state of Iowa, we've got the Hawkeyes at home, a 17-point home dog against Ohio State. This one at 3:30 on ESPN. Will there be any kind of letdown effect, Daniel, for the Ohio State Buckeyes? Remember, they won by one at home, a dramatic victory over Penn State. I don't think they're going to lose to Iowa. They shouldn't, but stranger things have happened. Iowa plays a goofy, vanilla style of college football. I think they cover at home, Dan. They cover.
As do I. It's, yeah, the combination of a letdown spot. Ty, Weather Underground does not lead me wrong. Could be a little bit soggy. Some heavy rains coming in the morning. I know this game kicks off at 3:30. Could be a little bit soggy. Slow things down. Iowa does a good job preventing bigger plays. They tackle well enough in the open field. Penn State barely gets by them in a weird spot. I'm going to say Iowa covers this game. 31-17 Buckeyes.
You know what we need on this program?
So many things, Ty.
We need like a funky weatherman. You know, like every morning show, they have the traffic person that talks about the local traffic.
Yeah, of course.
We need a funky weatherman, someone who wears a bow tie or.
Did you have one growing up that was in like the Allentown, Bethlehem, Northampton area?
We have one right now who many moons ago broke an arm. And I'm not kidding. Did the morning forecast in a giant sling after surgery.
Great.
And I felt horribly for him, and especially after having my own shoulder issues, I know how painful that can be.
Yeah.
But if that doesn't make for funny TV, I don't know what does.
Sure. I'm all for it. We had one, I think he's still in LA, Fritz Coleman. I was on TV with Fritz Coleman and my solar car team in the eighth grade, Ty.
I'm going to see what I can do for next week's show, okay? That's a promise.
Didn't Fox have Jillian Barbary doing stuff way back
when? We need a funky weatherman is what we need.
Weather person. Next game, Ty, Notre Dame, Wake, 14 points.
Notre Dame at home, 14 points, 3:30 on NBC. The Wolford wagon rolling, it's churning along. But so is the 33 trucking crew, Dan and Josh Adams. And I'm feeling another 200-yard game coming for Notre Dame in this football game for Josh Adams. So, yeah, give me Notre Dame minus whatever here against Wake.
I was far away from the mic. The lights have gone out.
Okay.
In the room I'm recording this in, and I don't know where the switch is. I'm just going to keep... No, I'm not going to stay in the dark, Ty. I do agree with you. I think Notre Dame rolls in this game. Wake's run defense is not... Oh, lights are on. Lights are on.
Okay.
We're good. Wake's run defense is not good enough. I'm not going to call... What did you call the covered wagon? Whatever you call
it. The Wolford wagon.
No, the Josh Adams situation.
33 trucking.
Oh, 33 trucking.
You will use 33 trucking with respect on my show. At least in my presence, you will use it.
If I were a team looking to beat Notre Dame, I would get them to as many third and eights as possible and force Brandon Wimbush to throw as many passes as possible to keep drives going and make him beat you. Easier said than done. With Notre Dame's offensive line, they tend to get to third and two a little bit more often. But that's what I would do. I don't think Wake is good enough to do so. I have Notre Dame winning this game 38-20.
38-20. Okay. Let's go to 7:15 on ESPN. We've got TCU at home, a 7-point favorite against Tejas. Tejas.
See, I was just there.
I said it a couple weeks ago. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to get crazy. This is the game that Texas gets.
You're loco, Ty.
This is the game that they get. Sam Ehlinger coming back from a concussion. Tom Herman fired
up. Who's starting?
He called out the students. He said they're apathetic. He needs something, Daniel, that he can hang on the wall. I think they get TCU. I'm going Texas outright here. 28-27. Give me the horns.
Just all out on TCU at home, huh?
I'm out, baby. I'm out.
I like TCU, I think. TCU's at home. I don't know who's going to start at quarterback and play at quarterback for Texas. I have a weird sneaking suspicion it's going to be both quarterbacks, and I don't like that, Ty. I don't like it
one
bit.
It's going to be Sam Ehlinger. He's back.
He's back, but Shane Bechtel played nicely last week.
Yeah.
I think they're going to play too, and I hate the prospect of that, so I'm going TCU. I think they win by 10. I think it's relatively low scoring. I'm going to say 28-18 TCU.
You can hitch your wagon to Kenny Hill.
Ken Hill,
no,
sir.
Kenny. Kenny know, is back Kenny. From the dead.
Okay.
Give me Texas, 28-27. And finally, 10 p.m. on Fox Sports 1, Washington. Yay. At home, 25 points, the favorite, against your Oregon Ducks, Dan. That is a lot of points to give against a team like Oregon that can score, especially with maybe Justin Herbert coming back. What is the status of him and his injury?
First of all, I think it's down pretty significantly, the spread.
Okay.
I think it's about 17.5 now. So okay. That would indicate, potentially, that there are rumblings. I know, like, people have said he's taking first-team snaps in practice, and I see those reports, too. I don't know how meaningful those are, because I don't think they're going to play Herbert if he's not fully healed. So maybe he is, and if so, that would make much more sense. I don't think Washington's scoring 70 on Oregon again this year. There's no Brady Hoke factor. But yes, the quarterback situation is still very much up in the air, and the best thing Washington does is play defense, though they are pretty beat up at corner. They're so good up front. I'm pretty worried. The best thing Oregon can do is get creative in the run game, like they did at times last week against Utah, force turnovers, maybe pop something in special teams. But when you start talking like that, that's a bad sign.
Yeah, right.
If you full on can't pass, if Braxton Burmeister is starting this game, it's extremely difficult to beat a very good team in Washington on the road. So I think Washington wins this game comfortably. They don't score 70. If it's Braxton Burmeister or if it's Justin Herbert, I think Washington wins this game by right around 20 points. So I'm going to say Washington, let's say 37-17. So maybe Oregon, maybe a backdoor cover or something like that.
I've got Washington winning by 21.
Okay.
So if the line is what, 17 now?
Yeah.
I would take Washington to cover.
Yeah, as do I.
All right. That's all we have in the way of big headliner games featuring ranked teams. There are a bunch of other really good games to speak of this weekend. We simply don't have time to get through all of them. We get messages each and every week. Why didn't you talk about my team? We're trying to do the best we can with about 45 minutes to an hour, and we have failed miserably at that time limit. We're usually going about 75 minutes on all of these weekly preview shows, some of the recap shows, just because there are so many big games to talk about.
Sure.
One of our favorite new segments, though, features a gentleman who has quickly become our favorite announcer here on the Solid Verbal, a gentleman by the name of Adam Amin. You've gone shoe shopping with him, yes?
This is true. Facts only.
Where is Adam this week?
So Adam will be calling, well, it's a ranked team, Memphis traveling to Tulsa. Which, you know, Tulsa's taken a step back, but Memphis has been pretty fun, and Mike Norvell has made a name for himself this year. So that game is in Tulsa, Ty, and we're in week 10.
Yeah.
So listen, Ty, this segment and this season's going to be over before you know it. So I would say, like Tulsa native band Hanson would say, in an umbop, Adam's going to be gone, Ty. So I think we should listen to what Adam has to say about this game and where he's going to eat.
Hey guys, this is Adam Amin from ESPN. Verballer, play-by-play announcer, and based on most scientific evidence, a man. This week we venture to the second largest city in Oklahoma, Tulsa, situated on the Arkansas River at the foothills of the Ozark Mountains, where legend has it, natives await for smoke signals to determine who will be the next head coach of the Razorbacks. Speaking of potential Arkansas coaches, Mike Norvell has the number 23 Memphis Tigers playing great football at 7-1, and Friday night, Riley Ferguson and Anthony Miller will try to light up a Tulsa defense that has struggled mightily at times this year, but they've also beaten a pretty good Houston team. You know, for most of the 20th century, Tulsa was nicknamed the oil capital of the world, a major hub for the American oil industry during a time when we could eat as much meat and bread and coal and steel as we wanted to. But for now, we'll just enjoy a trip to the Brady District in Tulsa, where we've got one of the best wood fire spots to eat around in Amelia's. And if you're looking for a steakhouse that is essentially inside of a speakeasy, Bull in the Alley will be the spot to hit up. This has been your Adam Amin Voice Meal of the Week. Stay solid.
Was that an orchestra version of Mbop in the background?
That's
there?
True. Ty, wow. It's a very Mboppy show. It is a string quartet doing Mbop.
The Adam Amin Voice Meal of the Week continues to pick up steam. Thank you to Mr. Amin.
Yes. Real quick, Ty, I am going to try to go as fast as I possibly humanly can, which is right around like a 6:40.
Okay.
UCLA is playing Utah late Friday night. If you're in, if there's bad weather, watch that game. It could get weird. Wisconsin's going to Indiana, Ty. Every year, Indiana does something to somebody, right? Right?
Yeah.
Florida, Missouri. Don't watch it. Just don't.
Yep.
Kansas State, Texas Tech. Opposites attract, Ty. Makes me think weird things about Paul Abdul. Syracuse, Florida State. Go Orange. Go Dino Babers. Get another huge program-defining win, even if it's the 2017 Florida State. Georgia Tech, Virginia? You going to watch any of this?
Nope.
I bet it ends weirdly.
Nope.
I bet it does.
Nope.
Maryland, Rutgers. You probably shouldn't.
No, don't even bother with that one.
Don't. You know what? Army, Air Force. Army's pretty good again, Ty.
Not bad.
I believe in the Munkins. That
was weird, but okay.
Yeah, no, it's facts only once again with that. UTSA, FIU, no, you're not going to watch that? Minnesota, Michigan? Brandon Peters? The Peatles?
I'm interested in Minnesota, Michigan a little bit, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. So, yeah, those are the games. If I can, real quick, because I know we're running long, Ty.
Yeah.
One favor. Just one final favor.
Sure.
Will you drop that overflowing, blasting, glistening, lambent...
Lambent?
Drum and fife. So that looked, it's...
Is that a word? Lambent?
It's flickering with a soft radiance.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, we have three Patley games, Ty. And let me ask you this. Do you think the running backs of Dom Bragalone and Mikko Brisker of Lehigh have enough to go to Bucknell and take down the Nellies with their own talented running back, Chad Freshnock?
Freshnock? Is that a real person?
100% real.
Sounds like a computer generated name. Now I go Lehigh. I go Mountain Hawks. I go Engineers. I go the alma mater of my wonderful wife. Give me Lehigh.
All offense, Lehigh. I'm gonna go Lehigh as well here. Gotta cut the Nellies down to size. Holy Cross at 3-6, Ty. Do you think this is the week Peter Pujols cuts down on picks?
No. Let's go Fordham. Give me Fordham.
We're going Fordham. Gotta know, Ty. Do you appreciate that Teddy Capsis is a monster on defense?
I do.
Crusaders.
Of course. Of course I do. I'm still going Fordham, though. New York's one true team.
Yep. Fordham with QB Luke Medlock. He is improving. Lafayette, 2-6. Brandon Bryant, Ty, you know this is a tackling machine. Georgetown, are they going to be able to survive the Brandon Bryant experience? Michael Darius can't do it alone for the Hoyas at Multisport Field. What do you think?
Multisport Field all the way. Give me the Hoyas.
Yeah, I'm going to go the Hoyas as well. Hornets Nest, Ty. We know this. We celebrate this. We worship this.
Absolutely. By the way, I don't know if you caught this tidbit. It was tweeted to us. It's been floating around the web now for a few days. You should check out our subreddit.
Yes.
reddit.com/r/solidverbal. Over 1,000 subscribers. Doing well.
Nobody
at did. Some point, we need to do an AMA on there. Maybe we can figure that out. But it was, I think, initially posted by the college football subreddit that there is a singular pathway that could potentially lead to a 7-way tie in the Patriot League. Every team,
true?
It is 100% true. A singular pathway that could produce a 7-way tie. All teams in the conference could finish with a 3-3 conference record.
Okay, I was going to say, there's all sorts of strange records right now, but I guess they play a bunch of non-conference games because there's not that many teams in the conference. Ty, we've been saying this for years. The Pat League is due for some inter-Pat League chaos.
Yeah, of course.
Might be that year. It just might be.
3-3 in conference play. is a real possibility for all seven teams in the Patriot League.
I hope so.
That would be tremendous.
I'm hoping for it, Ty. It's basically a more important version of, I believe it was 2008 when you had the three-way tie atop the Big 12.
Yeah.
The Graham Harrell, Colt McCoy, Sam Bradford? Yeah, something like that.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah. Landry Jones, one of those guys. Yeah, I'm hoping for it.
Cool. Well, fun show. You've got Oklahoma State as your lock?
I have Oklahoma State. I'm riding with the Cowboys. Go Pokes.
I'm going to go Clemson minus the points on the road at NC State. Perhaps tempting fate a little bit, but liking that Clemson defense more than I like anything else on the field in that game. Thank you to everyone, as always, for your resounding support, continued support of the podcast. Don't forget to give us a phone call at 408-VERBAL-1, or you can shoot us a text message, as I've said for the last few weeks running now. I have been responding here and there to some folks who have been texting in. And if you're a Michigan State fan, I will offer you an apology if you do cover the point spread against Penn State. I promise to do that. But again, 408-VERBAL-1, if you'd like to get in on the action as far as that goes. We're also on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. There's a subreddit, which I mentioned a few minutes ago, reddit.com/r/solidverbal. We've also got more shirts coming out. Stay tuned to all of our social media channels and our newsletter of intent if you'd like more information on that. And finally, I'll close out with if you do own a bar, restaurant, speakeasy, what have you, that can accommodate
venue
in the greater Atlanta area, give us a holler at solidverbal@gmail.com. Looking to plan our next live gig on the weekend of the national championship.
That's all I got, Ty. If you're listening to this while driving, keep your eyes on the road, 10 and 2. Keep your hands on the wheel. Look at your mirrors. If you're listening to this on a plane, we're probably inside your head right now. What's up? We're in your left and right ears. If you're doing chores around the house, thank you. Thank you for pulling your own weight. If you're working out right now, good for you. Treat yourself. That's all I got, Ty.
Do we want to do a secret verbal? Because we haven't done one in a long time.
We haven't done a secret verbal in a long time.
I really like the idea of sending an image to somebody or a kind of image to somebody. Didn't we do that where we had people sending pictures of tacos or Mexican food or something like that a couple weeks back? We've gone far too long without doing this.
This is, what's it called? It's All Syrup Super Squishy Saturday.
That's correct.
So why don't we send pictures of Milhouse Van Houten to somebody?
That sounds like a beautiful idea.
I think it's appropriate. It's G-rated. Milhouse is probably a top 7 character on The Simpsons, if not higher.
Easily.
Who are you feeling, Ty?
So here's a good one, Dan.
Okay, hit me.
It's a good Pac-12 week, is it not?
It's a wonderful Pac-12 week, which we have not had a lot of.
Mike_Yam.
Easy.
Noted Pac-12 network host, Mike Yam.
Mike Yam.
Good host, good sense of humor. Mike_Yam. We are sending him, what, pictures of Milhouse?
Pictures of Milhouse. Go on Google Images. Do not reference the Solid Verbal. Do not hashtag it. Do not mention anything about why you are tweeting at him. Send him merely via Twitter a picture of Milhouse. Just tweet him any picture of Milhouse. There are thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of screen grabs out there. You know Milhouse from The Simpsons, Milhouse Van Houten. He's been through a lot. Send a picture of Milhouse to Mike Yam just to show him that you appreciate all that he does.
On that note, for that guy over there, Dan Rubenstein in New York City, for myself, Ty Hildebrand over here in Eastern Pennsylvania, thanks again for listening to the show. Look us up this weekend, 408-VERBAL-1. Give us a call. Keep those reverbs flowing. Send us tweets. Send us emails. Subscribe to the newsletter. You know the drill. We'll catch you all on Sunday and recap week 10. In the meantime, enjoy your week, enjoy your weekend, and stay solid.
Peace.